I think that figure is, in one sense, meaningless out of the context of, you know, is the implication that federal employees are being overpaid in the sense that they're being paid more than private sector employees?
Yes, that's the implication.
Jobs.
You know that's the implication.
Of course. And so here's the deal. First of all, of course, based just on what the USA Today reported, over 8 out of 10 federal employees earn less than $100,000. In fact, 2 out of 3 earn less than $80,000. Now, it's for someone who's unemployed, that seems like a lot of money. And it, you know, compared to, you know, not having money, that is a decent amount. However, keep in mind that, first of all, $100,000 doesn't go as far as it used to. In the Washington, D.C. area, actually a GS-13 at a Step 6, for those who know the federal pay scale, makes over $100,000. In the San Francisco area, and I have a daughter who lives out there, a GS-12 Step 9 makes over $100,000. But, you know, in the San Francisco area or in here, in the D.C. area, you know, that's not wealthy by any means, given the cost of living. The real point here, I think, is, you know, what are we paying for? Is the government wasting money by paying people more than they need to attract the talent, that they need? And I think the answer by all the data and the evidence out there is no. I get irritated, I have to tell you, at folks who simply say, well, look at the average pay in the private sector and look at the average pay in the federal sector, and, you know, private is lower. That's very misleading because you're, you know, lumping in fast food workers and retail workers with, you know, medical personnel in the Department of Veterans Affairs, weapons systems analysts, and so on. What you need to do is look at, you know, comparable jobs. You know, a lot of the hiring over the last, couple of years has been in VA. Unfortunately, they've had to staff up to take care of the wounded warfighters coming back. And, I'll tell you, a doctor, you know, a specialist in, brain injuries and so on, they're making more than $100,000 in the private sector.
That's true. And so what you're saying is that these are highly skilled, highly educated in many cases, people who are coming to the federal government, not really many of them at the beginning of their career, but really a senior level people. These are people that are running the federal government, big brains, and their salaries probably by all standards, when you compare that job in the private sector to the public job, there's not any comparison. They're earning less. They're doing it more for, you know, contribution to the country and just because of the love of the job rather than the lack, which is earning a lot of money.
That is exactly right, Jane. You know, we also, if you take a look at, you know, Department of Defense, you know, a lot of the hiring over the last couple of years, obviously on the civilian side even, was in the Department of Defense. There, you know, they brought in acquisition professionals, they brought in, you know, weapons systems analysts, they brought in other highly paid folks. A good acquisition professional is going to save you money in procurement, given the amount of contracting dollars spent. You want to make sure that money is being spent wisely. And you want to make sure the public's getting value for that money. And you don't get a good acquisition professional, you know, at, you know, $50,000 a year compared to what, you know, their counterparts are making. One other thing, to note is that, a lot of feds, have been in government for quite a while. They're retirement eligible. They're delaying retirement, given the economy. And one of the advantages of working for a long time is that over a period of time, as your skills increase and your responsibilities increase, your salary increases. So even if you're, again, if you're in the San Francisco area, you're a GS-12 who's been there for a long time, you can be making over $100,000. If you're a GS-13 in the D.C. area and you've been around for a number of years, you can make over $100,000. But that's, you know, because in part of your years of service and the experience and expertise you've developed, those folks are going to leave, and I think you're going to see a drop in average salaries, relative, you know, controlling for inflation.
We're talking to John Palguta, Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service, and also further pursuant to your point about comparing apples with apples, the government makes use of people that are low paid relative to themselves, food service workers, landscaping workers, but those are all outsourced to contractors.
That is right. And in fact, that was by plan and by intent. The notion is government need not do things that are readily available, from the private sector, like food service worker, like, you know, landscaping, and there's, you know, there's many other jobs that the government outsources, because, there's a, you know, it's a service provided in the private sector, and many of those jobs are lower paying, which means proportionately, of course, you end up with a greater proportion of federal workers who are higher paid. But again, the bottom line is, are we paying a reasonable rate for the talent that government needs? If we're not, then I'm all for, you know, doing a redo here, but everything I see tells me that by and large, feds are being paid not exorbitantly, but are being paid market or below market for the skills they bring to the workplace.